Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you are here with us in this moment, whether you are listening in on the Beloved City Church podcast, participating online or in person at your microchurch campus today. Welcome. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, exploring Jesus maybe, or a longtime Jesus follower, I believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to take one more step toward truth about God, about faith, and about yourself. Over the course of this current talk series, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you may have never experienced yet before. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving to a life in Christ that is truly thriving. Freedom does look good on you, my friends. The point scriptures that are guiding our exploration are found in the library of books we call the Bible today in the book of John. John 8, verse 32 and 36 says this, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free." Jesus repeatedly teaches us that when we believe on him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, which is surrendering to receive his unfailing, everlasting, and cascading love for you and I, he gives you a gift of life and life to the fullest. This life to the fullest is brought to you by the Holy Spirit, empowering you to continue living in this freedom as you follow Jesus as your forgiver and leader. Freedom from sin, shame, and brokenness. These things being absorbed by Christ, meaning these things no longer dictate your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors when you believe. The only way this could ever work is with new power. Your followership of Jesus is empowered, which gives you power by the Holy Spirit, partnered with your faith. It's relational, it's freeing, it's a new life, and it's without earthly limitations, friends. So to help us navigate this life of living in relationship with Jesus, we have been exploring over the past few weeks how our frame of view, our perspectives, our choices, our approaches to daily living affect our daily lives. How walking in relationship with Christ, which is eating from the tree of life, as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, develops trust in our life. When we're walking with Christ, this relationship of trust, we also look at how our God-breathed design, which is our spirit, soul, and body, when in the correct order, helps us to live purposefully as God designed. And on our last talk episode, we explored heart blockages, which are matters of the heart. And if you missed it, I highly encourage you to take it in online or on YouTube or on the move with the podcast. I do believe that God will speak to your heart through it. So today, let's unpack the heart blockage of selfishness. Selfishness, not in as the willingness to share, but a selfish ambition, self-aggrandization, self-ambition, self-promotion. I am in control. No one else is. I get to control my situation, my life, my circumstances. I want it my way. In opposition to a posture of living in surrender to Jesus as the Lord of all my life, we will not experience the fullness of the freedom of Christ until we submit full control to him, full leadership of our lives in all of my rhythms, patterns, motivations, in my stewardship of time and of energy and of my finances. My whole life is surrendered to following Jesus. Now, James, another book in the New Testament portion of the library we call the Bible today, James 3 and 13 in the Passion Translation, "If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise." Verse 14, "But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in our hearts, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and by being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish." So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, we're in verse 15 of James 3. Wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. and it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. Wow, I want to just highlight this. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Man, we're talking about heart blockages. The heart blockage of selfish is full of trouble. Jesus desires our ethics to be changed. We call it transformation. Transformed by the residing Holy Spirit living in us. We can live in complete surrender to Him as our forgiver and our leader. So often we stop at the forgiver part, but He wants to lead you, my friends, in all of your rhythms and all your patterns, your motivations, your passions, your desire. God wants to be a leader in your life. Proverbs 3 verses 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not." Don't lean on your own understanding, friends. In all your ways, in everything, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. You want straight pathways in your life? Leaning into Jesus as your leader, submitting to Him, allowing Him to lead you, will make your path straight in your life. When we think about surrender, it brings a few pictures to our minds, right? White flags, maybe, hands raised up, conquered, no way out, game over. We also associate surrender with defeat, with weakness, controlled or having to yield. However, when it comes to life partnered with Christ, the willful act means I'm willingly giving up control, giving up my life, exercising my free will choice is actually the beginning of my freedom. This life of surrender, it requires a trust. And trust can only be built or fostered in the context of a relationship. If you don't know somebody, like you don't know your neighbor, you're not very quick to allow them to come into your life and watch over your children or over your most valuable possessions. That kind of trust is built up through relationship building. You start to understand that person's character. You understand their values. That level of trust is earned. It's built. It's developed. It's fostered. So to foster trust for Jesus in our lives, we must spend time with Jesus, getting to know Jesus. It doesn't have to look a certain way. Remember Aunt Edie? Aunt Edie, she prays an hour a day every morning. But your patterns and rhythms with Jesus might differ. Yet the key is simply to invite Him into your moment-to-moment, your day-to-day, your issues, your finances, your worries, your home life, your playtime, and your work life. Friend, inviting Jesus into the moment-to-moment of your day-to-day life. He will reveal Himself to you and in your frustrations in so many special ways as you feed your spirit man by what? By nurturing it, by being one in Christ, by being in relationship with Him. Oh man, permitting your spirit man to be the command center of your lived out life. Relationships on earth, like marriage and friendship, are mere shadows of what relationship with God really is. Yet we know on earth that even our relationships take a minimum of two individuals working on that relationship. The relationship is an entity of its own. You and I work to develop it, to protect it, to grow it, to nurture it. Our relationship, it is an entity that we work together. It takes two people to work together, at least on our relationship. You can't do it on your own, right? You can't have a relationship with somebody else by yourself. Jesus doesn't do it alone either. He wants to be in relationship with you. Remember, true love cannot exist without the free will choice. We can freely choose to grow in relationship with Jesus. True love cannot exist without the exercise of your free will choice. To surrender my self-indulgent existence, to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with one another, to be in union, to be in covenantal relationship with Him as the bride of Christ. The child of God. Beautiful. Here are some personal ways that I personally do to work on developing my relationship with Jesus. Maybe I can encourage you in just a moment here. I spend time thinking about Him. I spend time in His creation and I reflect on His majesty, His splendor, His goodness, His power. And I give thanks to Him with my words, but not just with my words, with also with my time and with my energy and with my finances. And by sharing my story, my faith story, this is how I give thanks and glory to God. And I talked to him with prayers and songs and poetry and by journaling and writing to my Father, writing to my Savior, and often ramblings as I'm driving and I'm just talking to God. And I read about him. I study him. I read about his life and his actions, his words. I look to Scripture to hear him speak to me. And I also surround myself with other gospel practitioners, other Jesus followers who love Jesus and who engage their entire and whole life to serve Jesus, to live with Jesus. Now watch this. I love how the author of the writings of James puts it this way in James 4, verses 1 to 8. What is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Man, we're asking that question even today, aren't we? What is the problem? What is the cause of these conflicts? Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and to fulfill your own desires? Question. You jealously want what others have, so you begin to see yourself as better than others. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight. Boom. And all the time, verse says, and all the time you don't obtain what you want because you won't even ask God for it. So you fight for it, you quarrel for it, you try to get it on your own accord instead of going to God and building this relation, growing this relationship with him and asking your Heavenly Father to provide for you. We try to be our own Messiah over and over and over again in my life. But God, Jesus, wants to be your Messiah, wants to be your rescuer, wants to be your forgiver and your leader today. Oh man, if we ask, you won't receive it because you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? Verse 6, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon you and I. For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you come with humility. So then, surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him and push back, and he will turn and run away from you, friends. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Oh man, doubters are, it's a huge issue sometimes, isn't it? Oh man, that was James 4, verses 1 to 8, friends. I encourage you to read it again to after church, another time. Open the scriptures to James 4 and 1 to 8 and note it. Write some notes. Let it change and transform the way you think today. So with humility, I submit my mind, my will, and my emotions. I submit my life and all my patterns and my rhythms, everything that I do. I surrender my time, my energy, my finances, my relationships, my expectations to God. I resist the devil and these temptations to flirt with the world's values and ethics. I resist it. I can draw near to the heart of my Father. And he reciprocates that willful act with such love and grace. Jesus yearns to have complete leadership over your heart, yearns to bring light and love into every corner of your heart. That corner in your heart that's harboring doubt, that corner that's harboring fear, that corner that's reacting with selfish ambition, that corner of rejection, he is yearning, he is longing, friends, to have full access to your inner man, to your inner life. Every bit of my past, every bit of my present, and every bit of my future surrendered, submitted, given back to him. Let him be the leader and Lord of my life. Freedom does look good on you, friends. When you begin to walk in the understanding of and in the openness of trust, opening the inner closets of my heart from all aspects of the time that I've been on this planet Earth. Time and space has no construct for God. He has given of himself, sacrificed for you, tasted of death for your past, present, and future. Willing that no man should suffer again from the disconnect that began with Adam and Eve. One of the ancient prophets, Isaiah, he writes about an invitation to receive the glory of the Lord's restoration, a new covenant to come, the covenant that Jesus ushered in, a surrendered spirit, soul, and body made one with Christ, restored into reunion with God, in reunion with the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, a soul delighted by the abundant life of the Holy Spirit. My self-indulgent patterns are submitted, are surrendered. I can let go of it. I can relinquish it instead of holding on for dear life, exchanged for my freedom, friends. Beautiful. So let's see, Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Wow, the scripture speaks into this free offer, free gift of pardoning grace, of cascading love, of fresh starts, of new way of thinking, new ways of living, this freedom, this resurrection to new life that was promised well before our time, friends. The Prince of Life, Jesus, our Lord, in connection with his resurrection power, he leads us out of death into newness of life, out of defeat into victory, out of suffering into perfection, out of sorrow and pain of discipline into the triumph of the sons of light. And you can read it for yourself in Hebrews 2 and 9 and 12 too. That's Hebrews 2. The everlasting covenantal relationship between man and God, as we know, is mediated by Jesus Christ, as also found in Hebrews 8. Read Hebrews. Hebrews is a beautiful book. God's abundant provisions, not solely found in bread and milk and natural provisions, but in spiritual blessings in Christ. We're all looking for blessings in the spiritual world, more money in my bank account, more time to be able to spend on whatever I want, more energy to do more fun things. But friends, it's in spiritual blessings. We're spiritual people first before we're physical beings. There is a spiritual creation, a spirit man that God wants to make alive in you as being made one in Christ. It doesn't always make sense to surrender, right? Does it? Sometimes it's crazy. What? To trust? Why? His ways are so much more different than ours, different than this world's wisdom offers. Our autonomous and self-centered and self-medicating and self-help world doesn't understand what it would be like to live a life in surrender to a king and a creator. This security, this confidence, this safety found in a king who provides, this releases us and frees us from the bondage of a self-sufficient, self-helping mindset. We can still make the choice to radically defer from the world's ways of thinking. Setting ourselves up for success is found in Christ alone through our obedience and choice to trust him as our forgiver and our leader. The only way to experience abundant life in Christ is by being in full surrender to him, not just half, not a quarter, but in full surrender to him, trusting in his word, adopting his ways. Jesus still is the way, the truth, and the life, friends. You don't have to have the steering wheel of control or reaching to stomp on the brakes when things aren't going maybe the way that you would have done it. Control, friends, is based on fear. And fear is based on shame. Kick it out. Kick it out. Give it up. Give it back. Give your past, your present, and your future living and your future life. Give it back to Jesus to control and lead us. Ask yourself, what areas of my life have I not surrendered to God? Where am I having a hard time trusting Jesus as my leader? Luke 14 and 28 says, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count his pennies," right? Count the cost. What's it going to cost me to build this house? Whether he has enough to complete it, right? "Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was unable to finish.' Or what kind of king goes out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberately look whether he is able to meet this army with 10,000 or to meet him who comes against him with 20,000, right? You're calculating, am I going to win this or not? Can I build this or not? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation, asks for terms of peace. Like, if you know you're not going to win, what do? You send a delegation for peace. If you know you can't build your house, we just don't build it. What a comfort it is to realize that God counted the cost for you and I before he set about the task of redemption for an entire world, for each of us as individuals. He knew all that it would cost, and he did not begin what he could not complete in us, friends. We can trust God that he will perfect and he will bring within us what God wants to bring in us. He wants to bring us hope, love, joy, and peace, and give us freedom. And he counted the cost for this already. Luke 14 and 33, Jesus saying, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." It's about letting go my desires, my will, my passions, and all of me, all of my insecurities, my fear, my whatever it might be that holds me back from living in the true freedom. Let it go. Give it away. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to trust that he's leading me where he wants to lead me, where he sees best. My love and my trust for him will need to rise above my love for self, my love for my own way, my love for accolades and for my own safety and my security and my possessions. My love and trust for Jesus will need to rise above these things. That's called surrender, friends. Paul writes in Philippians 3 and verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." All this stuff is junk, rubbish. Friends, freedom does look good on you. All of this rubbish, this relationship I have with Christ is more than this world could ever offer me. Jesus is my everything, nothing, no extra time, no extra energy, no extra things, no extra sex, no extra money, no extra fame and fortune. No, this is not how I experience freedom and life to the full. It is counterintuitive, friends, I get it. But his thoughts and his ways are so much higher than our ways and thoughts. Friends, freedom does look good on you. And what I'm encouraging you today is to surrender your self-indulgent life to Jesus. Let him be not just a forgiver, but the forgiver and your leader in your life. I know you are wrestling and grappling, and me too sometimes, with doubt and insecurity, maybe within our finances or within our whatever it is, our children, our education, our work, and buying a house, whatever, with fear, with shame from those things that I keep doing that just doesn't quite bring me life. Nothing you are experiencing was not already experienced by Jesus, who for the hope set before him counted it as gain to lay his life down for you, that you may have life and life more abundant. Can I begin to lean into growing in my ability to trust that he, Jesus, he has got this for me? Preemptively and authoritatively, he has made a way through faith. It might look different, it really will sometimes, than my self-indulgent expectations have been or have tried to control, but I will be okay. And here are some ways, friends, to help you identify in your life what you are surrendered to, okay? Man was created to be a worshiper. We can often identify what we're surrendered to by what we worship. We will most often worship what we value most. Again, I say this often, if you want to see what you're worshiping, if you want to see what you value most, just look at your calendar and look at your bank statement. Start there, friends. And if you need to make some changes and adjustments, make them. It's okay. Take a look at yourself. Reflect on, what do I value most in my life? What do I put up on a pedestal? What do I esteem? My spouse? Maybe for you it's Justin Bieber. I don't know. My children? My career? Oh, I know. Definitely my comfort, right? What has become an idol in my life? What am I passionate about? What consumes my time? Do I desire other things and peoples and pleasures of this life more than God and the things of God? If we were willing to be honest today in this moment, we could all say, yes, there are some things in my life, there's some considerations in my life that I would love to learn how to surrender and give my life fully to God. Spiritual order requires God to be first in everything in our lives. This is why we disciple at Beloved City Church and apprentice followers of Jesus to examine how you're spending your time, how you spend your talent, how you spend your treasure and your testimony. Spiritual order is key to you living in the freedom that God has designed you to walk in. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world." What are you holding on to? "But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." The only thing that you can carry out of this world, friends, is your character. The only thing that's lasting thing that you will leave behind is your legacy. What story are you writing as you live your day to day? Revelations 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." See, the friends, the door is your will. So push beyond your will. Beyond your way, surrender the latch to Jesus. He is at your door, arms laden with gifts for you. Such a beautiful picture of Jesus and how he cares for you. So don't worry about the mess on the inside of your heart. Surrender the door, your will. Surrender the latch to him. Let him open up. Let him come in. He will deal with the storm inside of your household. He will sustain you. He will enrich you. Don't worry about supper and what you might have in the fridge. Don't worry about what you don't have to give. He has given you his own flesh and blood to sustain you. He has provided you the way, the truth, and the life so that you can experience his life to the full through your willful act of surrender. So surrender that door, surrender your will to Jesus. Let him walk in. Let him make himself at home in your life. So opt out of self-ambition and self-centeredness, self-helping ways, and surrender to this relationship. Let him come and dine with you, eat with, sit at your dinner table and kick up his feet on the coffee table maybe and be with you and have a relationship with you. He's designed you to live in this with him. Let's get practical for a minute. Our earthly relationships are often areas that we can recognize as areas that prevent us from surrendering to God, our earthly relationships, right? We have been intricately wired to love and to receive love, to feel love, to emote love, to belong, to be in community. God did wire us as so. Man chose to eat, though, from the wrong tree way, way back, like Adam, and we still often do so, don't we? When our lives are surrendered to God first, we live in spiritual order with our spirit man leading the soul and the body, leading our mind, will, and emotions, and our body cravings. If you desire healthy relationship with family, friends, your past lovers, children, co-workers, pastors, church members, neighbors, and that maybe that one person that you don't quite hate, you got to stay free of offense. We can choose to live our lives surrendering these relationships to God when we realize that our first and foremost relationship is with our Lord, our forgiver and leader, Jesus himself. Work on this relationship with Jesus and everything else will be affected by the overflow of your heart. The most difficult relationships to surrender are often the ones where there has been an offense and unforgiveness. We all know that. We've walked through some of these relationships. Ask yourself, what would it be like for me to give up the right to be right and choose to be unoffended no matter what the situation is? This is possible if and when you are living in surrender to Jesus as our forgiver and leader. Again, we only control from fears. And we know that the spirit of fear is not of God. It is a fruit of the wrong tree, right? He, Jesus, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. We read of that in 2 Timothy 1. The Holy Spirit, the very mind and character of Christ invested in you, empowers you to live in this love and with calmed and self-controlled mind. Here are some of the ways to choose surrender over selfish ambition or selfishness. These items that I'm going to list here just for a few moments will assist you in learning to surrender and to be mindful of how you are willfully choosing to live in surrender. The first one is, friends, is take the lowest seat. Consider everyone more important than yourself. Others' needs before yours. Be a servant-hearted leader. Honor others rather than yourself. So take the lowest seat. This is how we walk out surrender. Number two, have an attitude of gratitude. See, gratitude changes our attitude by keeping us aware of God and of His provisions and His blessings in our lives. Have an attitude of gratitude. Number three, give freedom away. Don't try to control or manipulate others. People need freedom to make decisions, good or bad. We all need to exercise and have the ability to exercise free choice. So give freedom away. Number four, promote life in others. Choose to speak life over people. Build them up, bless them. If they offended you, choose to promote life in them instead of looking for payback. Vengeance is mine, says Jesus. Promote life in others. So number five, trust God for justice. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Think about what it would be like to pay for your own sin rather than Jesus taking care of it for you. None of us want what we really deserve. We'd rather have grace. So trust God for justice. Give life away. Give love and grace away. Give forgiveness away, because we have been so freely given these same gifts. Number six, dedicate God time. Refresh your spirit in prayer, in song, scriptures, and fellowship, friends. God's presence brings change in our lives. There are many areas of our lives that we can and need to surrender to God. Me too. I believe so. It might look like surrendering my plans sometimes, my goals, my pleasures and ambitions, hurts, even the future, the past even, selfishness, yeah, ego, sin, pride, physical appearance even, lust, anger, fear, my health. Fill in the blanks, friends. There's many areas of our lives that I can still surrender to God. Yet, make sure to also surrender unforgiveness. It will plug your heart up so much. We're going to talk about forgiveness next week, because holding on to an offense is essentially saying that we have a right to withhold grace from someone else. Holding on to an offense, friends, is essentially saying that we have a right to withhold grace from someone. This type of pride is an idol that will cause a wedge between God and us, myself and my creator. Surrendering does not mean we no longer have goals or ambitions in life. On the contrary, God is the one who puts desires in our hearts. When we surrender everything to Him, we will find that His path to the fulfillment of those desires is way better than we could have ever imagined on our own. We simply just have to submit to God's will and join with Him in partnership with Him for His plans for us. Wow, surrender. Selfishness contrasted by surrender. We can give all of ourselves as unto God. Say, God, would you live your life through me? My forgiver, thanks for forgiving me. Thanks for leading. Can you pray with me, friends? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin, my shame, my brokenness. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of love, life and love, and ask you to come into my heart and my life. Be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. That would be praise unto you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live the life that you died to give me. Turn my eyes to you, my face to you. Lord Jesus, I want to be in relationship with you, hand in hand with you. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I have held on to selfishness. Reveal to us how self-indulgent mindsets block our hearts from all that you have for us. I surrender these to you in Jesus' name to change me. Fill me with your spirit, soften my heart that I may walk in surrender, and continue to reveal in me your truths. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus and being baptized, by being baptized into water. Let us know. We want to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in both our lives and the lives of others. Will you take a step alongside us to partner with your time, your energy, and with your money with us at Beloved City Church to help us continue and grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? Thank you. Thank you for responding, and thank you for your generosity. Faith without works is dead faith, friends. So together, let's work out of our faith. Here's a couple ways that you can help. You can make it official. Join our Big Table family. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night and see what it means to be a part of the Big Table family here at Beloved City Church. Make it work. How do we make it work? We join the Grow team and we serve alongside one another, serving back into the community, serving our community at large, making it. Join the Grow team. Make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider how you can continue to give financially to help support the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? The giving station will be open at your location if you're there. And if you want, you can text to give, and they'll have the highlight there where you can give e-transfers, etc. We love you. We're praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you today in such a special way. God bless you. Amen.